Hey everybody, it's Brandon with Cigars and Cinema, and I'm talking to you today before we start about one of our sponsors, Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge in Richardson, Texas. These guys have been supporting our podcast for years, back in the day when it was the Calypso Cigar Review Show, and now as Cigars and Cinema, so we'd really appreciate it if you would support them. Give Matt over there at the Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge a call at 972-761-9903 and order some cigars. And hey, if you happen to be in Richardson and you want to stop by, go by 1401 East Arapaho Road, Suite E in Richardson, Texas, and talk to Matt yourself. It's a great shop full of great people and great cigars, and we appreciate the support. Now on to the show. Cigars in Cinema.
Will you bring in the cigars, please?
The movie review podcast that tackles the smoky side of cinema.
Cigar, mate!
Each week, we review a movie that contains, in some way, shape, or form, someone smoking a cigar.
Cigars.
Fire is good.
We'll talk about who smoked it, where they smoked it, how they smoked it, and we'll probably make fun of them if they have no idea what they're doing.
What are you doing?
You never light a cigar that way.
So sit back, light up, and enjoy the podcast that has it all. Cigars.
Cigar. Smoke it.
Smoke it.
Movies.
Say hello to my little friend.
And General Mayhem.
My doggie. Wah!
Hey, everybody. It's Brandon Luna.
Randy Rankin.
And welcome to episode 2 of Cigars in Cinema.
Only episode 2?
Yeah.
Seems like we've done a billion of these.
No, because we've been busy.
That's right.
And then got sick.
Yeah, and, I did get sick.
Life happens.
I know.
Life happens. But we're on episode 2. We did tease what we're going to be reviewing today. So
yes.
For those of you that listened to episode 1 and wanted to participate.
For the 14 people.
We are reviewing Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. A classic Western.
Classic Western with two of Hollywood's biggest all-time stars.
Yep.
And this who were they? I forget who they were.
Paul Newman.
Oh, that's right. Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
And this is where we put the trailer.
Exactly. Trailer,
Paul Newman.
Raindrops keep falling on my head.
I make salad dressing. It's really good. And drive cars.
Just like the guy whose feet...
I'm Robert Redford. I have a face like a catcher.
I was in The Natural, and that's about it.
No, he's really gravelly. He's like really wrinkly now.
Newman aged way better than Redford did, and we're not on the air, so I don't know why I'm talking like.
No, this will be there.
And oh, this is on the air. Then I'm glad I was using my on-air voice as opposed to my normal voice where I talk like this all the time.
Where you talk like this, or like you got a Texan accent, right?
Texan. I'm Southern and Texan at the same time. I got both.
You're Sexan.
Paul Newman is Butch Cassidy. And the Sundance Kid is Robert Redford. Catherine Ross is Etta Place.
Think you used enough dynamite there, Butch?
Outlaws with style in a class all their own.
What are you doing?
Stealing your woman?
Take her.
The president of the Union Pacific had them chased all the way from the West to Bolivia.
If he just pay me what he's spending to make me stop robbing him, I'd stop robbing him.
They robbed trains, looted banks, and one girl shared their love and larceny. Paul Newman, Robert Redford, Catherine Ross. You've never met anyone like Butch and Sundance.
But it's just one guy.
Don't you get sick of being right all the time?
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
All right, so we're back. Wow. Jeez. This is the show,
we
people.
Are nerds.
This is the show. So, yeah, classic flick and one of Paul Newman's first comedic roles.
Yeah.
He really resisted for a while in doing the comedy, but I think he really, really did pull it off.
He did. Now, you know the story behind it, right?
Go for it.
McQueen found the script. This was McQueen.
Yep.
And he pitched it to Newman. Mm-hmm. McQueen was going to be Butch, and Newman was going to be Sundance. And pitched it to Newman. Newman's like, I'm in. Well, something happened schedule-wise or whatever. McQueen couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave it to Newman.
Yep.
So Newman, they were trying to find someone to play Butch, and they found Redford. Nobody had ever heard of Robert Redford. He'd been in like a Twilight Zone episode, maybe an Alfred Hitchcock episode. He hadn't been in a bunch of anything. And but Newman thought he kind of had a kinship with the guy, and he liked him. And so he casts Redford as a Butch. And Redford says, why am I Butch? Why aren't you Butch? And Newman's like, never thought about it. Okay, you're right. And it worked better that way. I mean, I can't imagine Newman being Sundance.
Well, exactly, because, you know, it's blonde hair, Sundance. He's and that's older, not why he was named right, that. Still, but, yeah. You know, still, it
but,
worked.
But, you know, Newman was the older guy, so he needed to be the one that was more the leader. Mm-hmm. And anyway, just probably we said before in other episodes of our other show, probably the first true buddy movie, wouldn't you think?
I think it is really, yeah, kind of yeah. The
formula first that we see nowadays in a buddy movie started with Butch Cassidy and the Sundance.
It really did. It was, you know, and it's established friends. You know, mm-hmm. you get the chemistry from it. Mm-hmm. You see, you know, parts of their relationship as friends that they do. Like, they kind of, you know, they share the girl. It's not really sharing
yeah.
the girl.
One yeah, they're not sharing them in bed, but yeah, they're sharing them, you know.
She's in kind of in league with both of them because yeah. she likes both of their personalities because of who they are.
And it's one of those situations where we've all been there, kind of like the Jesse's Girl song from, Rick Springfield.
Yeah, exactly.
You can tell that Butch likes her, and he kind of wants her. But he understands, hey, it's my buddy's girl.
Exactly.
But if you ever fumble that ball, I'm going to jump right on it. It's kind of what he gives her.
Yeah. So the biggest thing that Redford had been in before this is probably The Chase with, what's his name? Marlon Brando. Mm-hmm. And then Barefoot in the Park. That was his kind of his big hit before.
Right.
That really kind of got him. He's just new. I mean, he was really new.
He really was.
So for him to step into this kind of role, upper echelon, kind of, you know, co-starring with Paul Newman, who was a big deal at the time, it's a pretty big thing. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of made his career.
I mean, think about it. Newman got started in the late 50s, and this came out in the late 60s.
Yeah, Newman
was. So in a 10-year career, Newman had already accomplished a ton.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. exactly.
He'd already been hosed out of 4 Oscars.
Yeah, right.
How does he not win Best Actor for Cool Hand Luke? Seriously?
I don't know.
I mean, I know Rod Steiger was great in
Stalag 17.
No, in Heat of the Night.
In Heat of the Night, okay.
He was great in that, no doubt. But Newman, God. And Paul, and Cool Hand Luke, come on. But, the pressure for Redford had to have been huge.
Oh, yeah.
But I think they wound up just being such good friends.
Yeah.
You know? And the sad thing is they did only one other movie, which was also a classic, mm-hmm. in The Sting.
Yeah.
And, you know, people thought, they just don't want to work together anymore. And it's like, no, that wasn't the case. They always wanted to work together. They never found the right script.
Yep.
And that sucks because we got robbed out of some really good gold.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. And they definitely had a very, very good chemistry together.
Yeah.
And it really was, you know, just a well-cast movie overall.
Oh, yeah. And Lurch. Lurch was in it.
Lurch was in it. Ted Cassidy.
The great Struthers Martin.
Yeah.
Who also was in Cool Hand Luke. And he was in a bunch of Newman movies. I think they just liked each other. Struthers Martin has one of the greatest lines in that whole movie, I think. Because he hires them to protect the payroll.
Yeah.
They're on their way to pick up the payroll. And Butch and Sundance are like all nervous and looking at stuff. Yep. He's like, they're not going to rob us before we get the money.
Right.
Morons. I'm riding with morons.
He was awesome in that role. It was just such a great role.
It was awesome.
My daughter was like, this guy's awesome. I love this guy. And then he gets, you know.
I know. Then he gets killed. Stocks.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
This movie came out before I was born.
Exactly.
Okay. Sorry.
I really liked Redford in his couple of early roles that he did, like up to Jeremiah Johnson. And then he started really getting kind of just bad. I don't know if
Brubaker sucked.
Yeah, just like weird roles that he picked up that he just didn't seem like he was into him or something, you know. So it was,
and even The Natural, I'll argue,
the Gatsby, Great Gatsby, that's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah,
yeah.
So The Sting, great performance, Great Gatsby, Waldo Pepper, you know.
Jeremiah Johnson's great.
3 Days in the Three Days of Condor is great. Not Jeremiah bad. Johnson's really good. The Way We Were, I've never seen.
The Who?
The Way We Were.
Oh no,
never seen it. No. Yeah. It's like it's chick flick.
It's Barbra Streisand. Yeah. So
All the President's Men was a good
solid movie,
but I think it's if he's acting against people who challenge him, like Paul Newman, like Dustin Hoffman, then you'll get a good performance out of him. If he's just doing his own thing, it's like,
I'll even argue that he's boring in the Natural. I think The Natural is a good enough movie that it puts up with Redford, and he was a good enough athlete.
I agree.
He's just like nonplussed in the whole movie.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like.
And there's a difference between, because some people think that, you know, when I think of a dry actor, I think of Robert Redford. People think, you know, Kevin Costner is dry. He's really dry. No, he just does that whole acting without acting thing. He says it the way he would say it as a person in that situation. Right. Doesn't mean that he's dry. It just means, you know, there's a little more in the eyes for Costner than I think there is for Redford. Like Gatsby was like, he was just saying lines. He had nothing there.
Yeah.
I mean, friggin' Scott Wilson stole Gatsby from him in the couple of scenes that he was in.
Exactly.
You know, so.
And while I don't dislike Redford at all, I agree. I've never really, he's a movie star. That's all I've ever thought.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas, like, you know, I'm not the biggest Brad Pitt fan at all. I can't stand Brad Pitt, to be honest.
Yeah.
you know, and when it came up, you know, they were comparing McConaughey was going to be the new Paul Newman, and Brad Pitt was supposed to be the new Robert Redford.
Yeah.
I could buy McConaughey a little bit as Newman. I could not buy Brad Pitt as Redford, because actually, Brad Pitt actually could act. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I don't like the guy, but I saw a little bit of acting ability in Brad Pitt. I didn't see shit in Redford ever. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that I dislike the guy. And he's a movie star. That's what John Wayne was, a movie star. Was John Wayne a great actor? No.
No, John Wayne just said the lines.
No, but he was a movie star.
And exactly.
And that's fine. And Redford is in that role. That's fine. He's good at it.
Yeah. And, but the first thing my wife and my daughter said when they saw this was that first scene, which, by the way,
is where the cigar goes.
The only scene in the movie with a cigar. I don't know why that made the list. There's one guy smoking a cigar in that scene, and that's it. He's a nondescript.
Was it Sam Elliott? No, he's in that scene. That's the only scene Sam Elliott's in.
Exactly. It's a nondescript scene, but it's the beginning scene where they're playing poker, and this guy challenges Redford, saying he's cheating. Uh-huh. And Newman's great in that part.
Oh, he's awesome. Like,
just ask us to stay.
Just ask us to stay. That's all
you
got to say.
Just ask us to stay. Just like, oh, I didn't know you were the Sundance Kid when I accused you of cheating. You know, but that scene, it's like my daughter's like, wow, he really brought. He's like, he's kind of scary in that scene. He actually brought it. I'm like, yeah, you know, that just kind of sets the catalyst for the role.
And, exactly.
But that's again playing against Newman. You know,
right? Yeah. And you know, I'm a huge Paul Newman fan.
Oh yeah,
he's a top five actor.
I love Paul Newman. Paul Newman's great. Yeah.
I think he overacts a little bit in this movie. I think he kind of, and it's probably because
his first comedy.
His first comedy. I think he tried a tad too hard.
Yeah.
But he's good.
He is good. He's good.
And he's got some great lines. I love that line where he goes, the rest of the world's got, or I've got vision and the rest of the world wears bifocals. I mean, I love that line. Because he's always got these grand ideas of what he wants to do and stuff, you know. Next time I say, let's go to a town like Bolivia, let's go to a town, or Australia, let's go to a town. I mean,
it's not the jump that's going to kill you.
Exactly. The fall's going to kill you. Yeah. What's wrong with those guys?
Yeah. Who are those guys? Who are those guys? Over and over again.
Yeah, they keep chasing them. And it's like, what about those guys?
Yep.
It's like, they let those guys go. No, it's a great movie. The Septia. Is that the word, Septia? Septia? You're the photographer. What's that?
Yeah. Sepia tone. Yeah, Sepia tone. Yeah.
That gets old. And the montage trying to forward the movie, showing them on the trains and stuff. Yeah, that's a little dated, very old.
Well, just the beginning itself with the clacking film noise and the sepia tone, and my daughter's like, this is how the movie starts? I'm like, yeah. She's like, wow, this is totally different than they start movies now. I'm like, this is a totally different time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is. And being the Western buff that I am, it's not an accurate movie much at all as far as Butch and Sundance. They get some right. They get enough right, you know. Yeah, they do die in Bolivia, and, well, technically, you think they die. It's kind of the Billy the Kid thing that Butch actually survived and lived well into the 1900s. We don't know that happened, but his sister said it did, so you never know. And it's got one of the classic songs of all time.
Mm-hmm.
That was back in the day when a movie would come out and a song would be in the movie, and it'd be a huge hit. That was B.J. Thomas of our area. He lives in Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
That was his biggest hit. Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, number one for 4 weeks, written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David.
Yep.
And here's the thing, if you knew anything about B.J. Thomas, during that time, he was a cocaine freak, spending $2,000 a week in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
Cocaine. Yeah, cocaine.
Oh, wow. And that's some good shit.
So he was hoarse. In the 70s. Exactly. He was hoarse when he had to record it because he'd been doing so much cocaine. And the producer, and he was embarrassed, and the producers loved it because they thought he actually sounded like Paul Newman were singing the song.
Oh, funny.
So they were like, no, this is great, keep it that way. And of course they added on at the end of that was added on for the record and everything, but I love the little tidbits like that.
Yeah, no kidding. So Catherine Ross, who is, you know, the love interest in this movie, did not get along with the director. George Warhill did not get along with him at all, and said that her favorite scene, this is coming from IMDb trivia here, was doing the bicycle riding sequence because it was all done by the second unit director rather than George Roy Hill, so that was the best day on set for them. And Paul Newman did most of his own stunts because the guy that they had for the stunt stuff had like horrible balance and couldn't do any of the stuff.
Really?
So Paul Newman did 90% of it. The only thing he didn't do was when he backed through the fence and fell off.
Okay.
That wasn't him. That was actually the cinematographer because he looked the most like Paul Newman. So that's pretty crazy stuff right there.
Yeah.
But George Roy Hill apparently got pissed off at Catherine Ross like when they first started filming the movie because they did one of the big train robbery scenes.
Yeah.
And they had four cameras. They didn't have enough people to operate the cameras because someone was hurt or missed a day or whatever it was. So the guy taught her how to operate the camera. She operated the camera for that scene.
Really?
And George Roy Hill found out and freaked out and like banned her from the set. She could only come on the day she was working and stuff like that. So, wow. Yeah, pretty crazy stuff. I mean,
well, that's when she met Sam Elliott. And,
yeah.
So I'm off the set. I'll go sleep with Sam Elliott. There
exactly.
you go.
Sam Elliott, yep.
Absolutely beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she's in three iconic movies, and then not much other than that. She was in The Graduate, of course, Butch Cassidy, and The Stepford Wives.
Yep.
And what else? Fantasy Island? I think I've never seen her on a Fantasy Island episode. Love Boat. You know, stuff like that.
Let's see. Catherine Ross. You know she wasn't in a whole lot when the IMDb pictures like her when she was 20. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when you know they didn't do a whole lot. There's no old picture of Catherine Ross. You see the IMDb picture of Robert Redford? He looks like a catcher's mitt. Yeah, the last thing. She did something in 2006 called Eye of the Dolphin.
Okay.
Donnie Darko. She was in Donnie Darko. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So she's done little stuff here and there, but just never really... Redheaded Stranger, she was in that, too.
Really?
I forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And another Western. So she likes doing the Shadow Riders, she was in that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. She was.
And a lot of other little weird... A lot of TV stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I remember The Legacy, she was in that. That really freaked me out.
Yeah.
And The Swarm, she did some horror flicks for a while there.
I remember The Swarm.
Yeah.
Oh, was she in...
The Betsy.
The Betsy, that's it.
Yep.
The one that they showed Kathleen Beller or whatever
her boobs
in the freaking trailer.
Oh, my God, I know.
They showed her in the trailer.
Yep, in the water.
Yeah, like, getting out of the pool with Tommy Lee Jones staring at her. Like, hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was
best trailer ever.
I know, right?
This was like 8. We were going to see Saturday Night Fever.
And there's
going,
boobs in the trailer. You're like, what?
Awesome.
Can we stay and watch the commercials again?
Now, Redford did do a movie a few years ago that I really liked called... Unfinished Life or something like that.
Got me.
With Morgan Freeman and, oddly enough, Jennifer Lopez. But actually, I didn't mind Jennifer Lopez in this movie. I thought she was really good. Takes out in the country. Jennifer Lopez had married Robert Redford's son. They had a kid, and he didn't approve.
Because it was Jennifer Lopez or because...
I don't... race had something to do with it, right?
Oh, okay. And Unfinished Life. Yeah.
And Jennifer Lopez got drunk one night and had a car wreck and killed his son.
Oh, no.
And so she shows up with the granddaughter, wanting him to raise her. And actually, really good movie.
It's got 7.0 on IMDb.
Yeah, it's a solid movie.
Yeah.
Really like it a lot.
Yeah, directed by Lassie Hellstrom or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Lassie or Lass.
And Morgan Freeman's been like his buddy forever. And he'd been attacked by a bear, so now Redford has to take care of him because he's kind of an invalid. Good movie.
This director likes to do really hard, stringy, pulley things.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's the same guy that did Chocolate, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, Hachi. Did you ever see Hachi?
Mm-mm.
I'm not a big Richard Gere fan, but that movie will rip your freaking heart out.
Really?
Yeah, it's based on an old Japanese tale about the guy who went off to war and died, and his dog, like, waited by the train station for him.
I remember hearing about that. That's what the movie's based on.
But it's a tough movie, man. Such a tough movie.
Yeah, sounds like it. Just heard about it. Sounds tough.
One of those animal movies that you just cry about. Guys, it's okay to cry at movies where animals get hurt.
Sports movies.
And that's about it. Maybe wrestling, you know, that kind
of
sports.
Yeah. Yeah. The dog dies, your team wins, your team loses. Yeah, you can cry at that stuff.
Yeah, you can cry at that stuff. But other than that...
If your girl leaves you, you celebrate. Sorry. No, I'm joking.
You get some beers, you call the guys, you go to a strip bar. That's what you
Freedom!
Do. That's what guys do. Yeah.
No, you can cry there when you get back. And when no one's around, then you can cry about missing your girl, but not in front of people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not in front of your bros, because that's not copacetic.
Not at all.
Nope.
But back to Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Great movie. Just a lot of fun. I mean,
it is.
Suspend reality and just watch it. It's hilarious.
It is one of the quintessential, like I said, one of the quintessential buddy flicks.
Yeah.
Super fun Western.
If you think of Lethal Weapon, Lethal Weapon is Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah.
Only in a modern era. It's basically what it is.
There's a handful.
Only they're cops in Lethal Weapon and they're outlaws in Butch, but it's still the same whole
There's
vibe
a handful there. Of those Westerns that are really fun.
Yeah.
You know, there's, like, I really thought the first Young Guns is actually pretty fun, even though it was really stupid.
Oh, it's a horrible movie,
Silverado.
But it's fun.
Silverado's fun. Really fun.
Yeah.
Great performance from everybody in that. Kevin Kline, you know, I never thought I'd see him in a Western.
He was awesome in
he
that
did
part.
An awesome part. Yeah,
he was
Danny
great.
Glover.
Scott Glenn.
Kevin Costner playing against type.
Totally
crazy,
different.
Fun guy, yeah. You know.
Jeff Goldblum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great movie.
Yep. Also a very fun Western, but horrible movie. The one with Sharon Stone. what the hell is that movie?
Quick and the Dead.
Quick and the Dead, the same
Randy. Yeah, horrible movie.
Horrible movie.
But fun.
It's super fun. And Leonardo DiCaprio is really vibrant in that. And just
and Gene Hackman's awesome, even though he hated the director. He wanted to kill Sam Raimi.
Exactly. I love that story about that. That's awesome. He just, like,
we'll get to that, because I'm sure he smoked cigars at some point.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Of course. So if you want a it's a really fun, great movie with a great soundtrack. And it was the other thing I pointed out when I was watching it. I'm like, the soundtrack... It's a Western, and the soundtrack really doesn't match with the Western. No. You know, at the time, it's like, it's just really
kind of groovy. Yeah, we were used to the Good, Bad, and the Ugly thing, where you get this great soundtrack and very dramatic and stuff. No.
And this was like, hey, ba-doo, fun, hey, happy-go, you know, let's have a good time.
Well, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. Come on.
Exactly. That's the song. I know. It's just like this happy-go-lucky hit song. Yeah. It's like the equivalent of Young Guns now with, you know, John Bon Jovi playing in there, you know. Yeah. So it's just kind of odd that was the soundtrack for that film. Would those guys work together, you know, well with that director, who was a very difficult director apparently to work with?
What did George Verhill do? Did he do The Sting?
I know he did The Sting.
Didn't he do Slapshot?
I don't know. Let me see.
No, let's see if he did Slapshot.
George Roy Hill was a combative, very difficult director to work with apparently. Did 19 movies, not a whole lot. Not a whole lot here, but let's see. Wow. So he did a lot of TV stuff. He did Toys in the Attic in 63, The World of Henry Orient, Hawaii, Thoroughly Modern Millie, then Butch Cassidy, Slaughterhouse-Five, The Sting, Great Waldo Pepper, so he worked with Robert Redford again, Slapshot, you're right.
Okay, he did do Slapshot.
Little Romance, World According to Garp, great movie.
Oh, great. Wow, I forgot that was George Roy Hill.
I didn't think that was him either, Little Drummer Girl, and his last movie, Funny Farm.
He did Funny Farm?
Funny Farm.
Funny Farm is a great movie.
Not many people have a taste for testicles anymore. Sheep's balls.
That's a great movie.
It was probably the last funny Chevy Chase movie, really.
Yeah, we got Christmas coming up. We have to come up with our ultimate Christmas list.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Hey, Christmas Vacation. You got the old guy smoking stogies and that burns a tree up.
What?
That was awesome.
That was probably the best impersonation I've done in
a
long time.
That was a really good impersonation. That was very, very well done, sir. Very well done, sir.
Oh, man.
So you got some movie news for us? You got something coming up for the second segment?
Yeah. We'll talk about it when we get back.
All right. Well, we're going to take a little break. Don't forget to check out the other episode that we have online there. It's on iTunes, YouTube, Podomatic, Spreaker, Stitcher, all that stuff. The version that's on YouTube is just audio, but you can still listen to it while you're working.
Eventually we do a video, but
we're going to get there eventually. Right now we're just doing the audio thing, just trying to build the show up. And check out all of our old episodes for Calypso Cigar Review as well, and whatever reviews are on the YouTube page and iTunes. So we're going to come back for the second third. We'll do some movie news, and then we'll talk about what we're reviewing next.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head. They keep falling. So
what do we have for movie news right
now?
Well,
there's
entertainment news in general.
There's an interesting movie that came out on this past Friday.
Okay.
Everest. And a customer at Calypso back when I was working here. You remember the guy, Chad.
Did Chad finally show up?
No, but this was back in the day.
Okay.
He got me.
Which day was that, by the way? Was it a Wednesday?
I think so. This one, Matt was going through his being sick, so I was working there, open to close all the time. And the only thing that kept me interested or kept me functioning was to have my moments where I could think about something else other than the store.
Yeah.
And Chad had told me about this documentary he was watching on Mount Everest. I never really had any interest in it, and he's like, "Yeah, just watch it. It's kind of interesting." So I watched it, and I just came infatuated with Everest. I mean, I wanted to know anything and everything. And so what this movie that just came out on Friday, it's got Jake Gyllenhaal, and it's got a lot of people in it. I can't remember off the top of my head who all's in it, but it's a good cast. Robin Wright Penn, I think, or I don't think she's Penn anymore, but Robin Wright's in it.
Mm-hmm. Jason Clark, I like him.
Yeah, a lot of people. But what it is, it was the disaster that happened in 96. And the interesting thing is that Jon Krakauer, I don't know if you know that name, he's the guy that wrote Into the Wild.
Okay, yeah, I know.
He also wrote a book called In Thin Air, which was his... He was on that climb.
Oh,
and
Everest, wow.
Yeah. And 12 people died. This massive storm hit. The two leaders of the expeditions both made horrible decisions that they just shouldn't have been made. And it cost a bunch of people their lives.
Yeah.
Including their own. And Anyway, so this is a movie about that disaster, so I'm really looking forward to seeing it. They only released it in IMAX, which is pretty impressive because it's only like 540 screens.
Yeah, no kidding.
And it did like $6-7 million, so nice. That's pretty good for the screen, you know, per screen average. But I'm really looking forward to it, seeing if they got it right, because I do know the story incredibly well. They did do a TV movie, which is really good. Had, the dad from Step Brothers was in it. I forget the guy's name.
Yeah.
Richard Jenkins. Some other people. And there's a guy from Dallas, and why in the world has his name just escaped me?
Glenn Morshaw?
No. Okay. He was on the expedition.
Yeah.
He's one of the people that almost died.
Oh, okay, an actual person from Dallas.
Yeah, he's from Dallas. He was a wealthy doctor, did well. Lost all his fingers, lost most of his nose.
Not a wealthy doctor anymore.
Yeah. His story alone in that whole thing is worthy of a movie, because he was written off as dead. I mean, they gave up looking for him. So I'm curious how they portray that part and stuff. But no, I'm looking forward to seeing that movie, and even if you don't know the story, watch it. It's an intriguing story. John Krakauer was on that expedition.
Yeah. Wow.
He was in one of the groups of the people that a lot of people died during.
Hmm. Yeah. And then he went and killed himself in the wild, basically.
Well, no, he wrote the book. He wasn't the guy in the wild.
Oh, okay.
He's the guy who wrote in the wild.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Never mind then.
Jeez.
Well, because I thought it was the same guy.
No, that was Chris McCandless or something.
The guy that had a picture you seen the little eerie picture that he posted? Yeah, it's creepy stuff.
What did he go by? Something Alexander Supertramp or something was his weird name?
Know.
Anyway.
I don't know.
But now, Krakauer, the writer, was on the expedition. He is not the guy that went into the wild. He wrote into the wild.
Speaking of Supertramp, we had a couple of celebrity deaths. Not from Supertramp, but guitarist from Mario Speedwagon.
Oh, you know how I found out about that?
No.
I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend. Who'd heard it from another?
Wow.
It was sad that that's how I found it out.
Wow.
Lord, I apologize.
That's horrible.
Sorry. I was waiting for that joke, man. I was ready to jump on that. Sorry. No, that is sad. And because I do love that song. That's one of my favorite R.E.S. That's one of my favorite songs, period. I love that song. What's it called? Taking on the Run? Mm-hmm. I love that screaming guitar in that song. And he's the guy that plays. That's sad.
Yeah, it is.
But I did get to see him a couple of years ago, so that's cool.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did. So that was awesome.
I don't think I saw him. Were they at the...
They were Wildflower a couple years ago.
Okay, maybe I did see him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I was drunk. So, also, Jackie Collins passed recently. She was the author of all the smut novels.
That's right, she was.
And the sister of John Collins.
Yeah. Judy Collins was who I was thinking of that she sang. She's a singer. That's where I was getting it confused with earlier. Sorry.
Okay, who's Judy Collins? She sings what?
Should have hit with Both Sides Now.
Oh, okay.
I've looked at life from both sides now. That song.
Gotcha. Dickie Moore, who was a child actor in the 30s, recently died. Yeah. He was part of the R-Gang troupe.
Yep.
So, no one's really going
to know. The dude from Madam 12, right?
Yeah, the dude from Madam 12 passed, yeah. His name is Martin Milner.
That show bored the snot out of me when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah?
It came on right after Gilligan's Island. You know, it was a syndicated thing.
Yep.
And I was just like, this show's boring.
And then Tyler Sash, former New York Giants and Iowa Hawkeyes safety, died.
Huh.
So, yeah, we had a lot of people pass recently.
Yeah, not good.
Not biggies like, what's her name's pretty big, Jackie Collins, but not like Wes Craven.
She probably sold 100 million books. Probably.
Exactly. Yeah. So we had kind of a thought of, The Raindrops Falling on My Head was just a really huge song.
Uh-huh.
And you had mentioned that B.J. Thomas actually did a song for a TV show as well.
Growing Pains, yeah.
Growing Pains, which...
We'll sing a tad of it. Long as we could each other.
Was that Alan Thicke sang it, right?
No, he sang it.
B.J. Thomas sang it?
Yeah, and Jennifer Warnes.
Okay, but Alan Thicke was in the show, right?
Yeah, Alan Thicke was in the show.
He's like a singer. I'm surprised
he might have written it. Who knows? I don't know.
That might be what it is.
Because he wrote a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he did. He wrote jingles and crap like that. And
Different Strokes and Facts of Life and stuff. He wrote those songs.
Yeah, but there was a lot of songs, if you think about it, back in the day that became...
That were hits.
Radio songs, yeah.
Welcome Back, Cotter by John Sebastian.
Got the Miami Vice theme.
Yeah, Rockford Files. SWAT. Remember the theme from SWAT was a huge
hit. That was on the radio?
Yes.
What's that one? Greatest American Hero.
Yeah, definitely a big hit. Huge hit.
Big hit.
Yeah.
What was the last one you can think of is probably
Friends?
Friends, yeah.
That's the only one I can think of. Yeah.
That's probably the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, the creators of the show actually wrote that song.
Oh, did they?
A lot of people think that the Rembrandts wrote that. They didn't. They just got them to record it.
Hmm.
But yeah, what's her name? Kevin Bright and Dana Kaufman and whoever the people were.
Huh.
that did that show. Yeah, they wrote it.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not
know that. Shit, but yeah, when we were growing up, tons of stuff.
The MASH.
The Love Boat song was
The MASH song was on the radio. I remember that being on the radio.
Yeah.
When I was a kid.
Yeah, so you had Love Boat, you know. One that didn't, and it's probably because of the singing involved, was All in the Family song did not get played on the radio. Great song, but you didn't want to hear Gene Stapleton sing.
Right. You would have had to have someone like Bruce Springsteen do it or something. The All American. Oh, God. Right. Wow.
Shut up. Yeah. Oh, man.
Those were the days.
But, yeah.
Sanford and Song song. I remember hearing that on the radio.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. That was just an instrumental. A lot of instrumentals. I mean, it's, you know.
Tons of them. But then there were those ones with lyrics like Walking by Cotter and stuff like that.
Yep.
So I remember one time my mom and I, we had a huge snowstorm.
Yeah.
And so my brothers were still asleep. I happened to get up early and my mom happened to be awake. And she's like, let's play a game. And I said, okay, sure, okay. And so that's what we did. We started singing songs to TV shows. And it was easy back then. All the TV shows had great theme songs. Even if there weren't songs played on the radio, there were still great theme songs.
Yeah.
You don't get that anymore.
No, you really
don't. The Cheers song, that got played on the radio from time to time.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, now it's all instrumentals that aren't catchy enough or creative enough. And it's just like, let's just get to the show.
You never heard the Frasier theme on the radio.
No.
Kelsey Grammer sang that, by the way.
So, hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salad and scrambled eggs.
Right. So, yeah, here's a list of ones that hit the songs here. So, Welcome Back made it to number one.
Wow. And remember, John Sebastian
crazy.
Was in the 11th Spoonful. That's where he's famous from.
Yep. That's crazy. So, that's like saying you wouldn't be listening to Desperate Housewives, Tudor, 6 Feet Under, West Wing, or CSI themes on the radio. So, mm-hmm. First one to do that was SWAT.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, then Welcome Back, Cotter, in 76. Believe It or Not, from Greatest American Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Miami Vice.
Mm-hmm.
How Do You Talk to an Angel, from The Heights? I don't remember that.
I don't remember The Heights. I know the song.
Yeah.
I don't remember The Heights.
That was the last one, probably in 92.
Huh.
And then the Friends theme was in the 90s as well, in 94. I guess Friends was the last one, yeah.
Wow.
But other theme songs that were played top 10 on the radio, Dragnet. Forgot that Peter Gunn, Secret Agent Man from Secret Agent. Yeah, that was a big one. Hawaii 5-0 theme. How could we forget that?
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah,
dun.
Rockford Files theme. Making It from Hill Street Blues.
Yes.
Yep. And Bad Boys from Cops.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big one. That was 93.
It's David Naughton. He's the three one-time hit wonder guy.
Yep. Wow. Yeah, you don't get that anymore. They don't really write theme songs now. You're not going to hear the Game of Thrones theme song on the radio.
No. Curb Your Enthusiasm's got a great theme, but they don't play that on the radio. Dum, 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 da 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 da.
Yep.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know. Didn't Breaking Bad have a decent theme song? I can't remember, but I thought it was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. It just wasn't, you know, it's not real.
Not radio worthy?
Not radio worthy, no. It's just one of those little jingles. It's like 30 seconds, probably, and that's it. There's not a whole, I can't imagine they wrote a whole song for it, you know.
Right.
The Rembrandt's one, you have like an actual song-length song to go along with
right.
it.
Right. Yeah.
Along with the Cheers theme, you know.
Right.
So, but yeah, those days are past, man.
Because, you know, sometimes you want to go
where
everybody knows
you. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it happens. Yeah, you do want to. That. Do you have any place like that?
Yeah.
Cigar bars, right?
Cigar bars.
Yeah, cigar shops. Exactly. Because cigar shops, people know your name.
Exactly.
All over the country, people know our name
mm-hmm.
because of what we do. And that's a cool thing.
We are legends in our own mind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So any other... entertainment news. Check this out. Did you hear about the new show that... now, I know you're not a fan of American Horror Story. You haven't watched it yet.
Oh, but I don't want to ask you about something, too, but go ahead.
There's a new show called Scream Queens.
Yeah, it's got Emma Roberts
and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
That looks interesting.
I want to see that. Yeah. But the same guys that make American Horror Story, so we'll see. You know.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah, I think that kind of looks cool. I'm kind of interested to see that.
That TV show Scream on MTV.
Have you been watching
it? I watched
it?
The first episode, and now it's out.
Oh, yeah? It just killed it for you?
It killed it.
That's too bad, man. That's too bad. Yeah. So that second episode just died on the vine?
It did. I mean, I started it and was like, I don't really care.
Really?
I really don't care.
Really?
Nothing.
That's too bad.
I know, because I like Scream. And it got good reviews. I just was like, wasn't into it. I'm kind of MTV'd out.
Yeah.
After Teen Wolf for the last couple of
years. I bet you if Jill Wagner was in it, you'd watch it anyway.
Well, yeah. I don't still watch Teen Wolf if Jill Wagner's in it. Oh, by the way,
Well,
Jill Wagner news for our Jill Wagner fans out there, for all three of you. Her first lead in a movie airs next Saturday. Well, October 3rd.
Is it made for TV?
It's a Hallmark. It's a Hallmark movie, but it's her first lead.
God, goodness gracious! So.
It's a romantic comedy, which is kind of weird because she's used to say she'd never do a romantic comedy, but
yeah,
it's a good role. It's her first lead. So
Who's the guy?
Oh, did you ever watch that Jennifer Love Hewitt show?
Where she's the hooker?
Yeah, where she's the happy ending girl.
The whore. No, I never.
Client list or whatever.
Yeah,
because what happened was her husband abandoned her.
Okay.
That's why she had to go into massaging.
Okay.
Well, her brother, her husband's brother, kind of helps, steps in and takes over, and it's that guy.
Oh, okay.
Colin something, Egglesfield or something like that. But anyway, it looks cute, and it'll be fine. I'm just happy that she got something, you know. I still think of her as the lead in Splinter, but that was really three people were the lead in that. You
know? Yeah, that was an ensemble piece, yes. We'll say.
With five people in it, but only three were the main people.
I know, right.
But anyway, so happy for Jill. And donate to her walk if you get a chance to.
It's what's that?
Life the Light. It's for lymphoma, which my brother has, mm-hmm. and leukemia. And
okay. Life Light?
Light the Light.
Oh, Light. Light the Light?
Light the Light. LLS. Go to LLS.com.
Okay. LLS.com.
And type in Jill Wagner, and you can donate to her thing. And she's got over $12,000 so far, so that's good.
Yeah,
and
cool.
I think it ends this week, so if you can, get in there and do it.
Cool beans, man.
I donated
cool
to it for my brother and to help her out, so that's cool. Damn it, I could meet her on Thursday, but I've got an event.
You could meet her on Thursday?
Yeah, I donated enough that I can go to this fundraiser she's doing in L.A., and
you
could sit at her table and everything.
L.A.
I'd do it in a heartbeat, but I get a freaking event. Damn events.
Damn events and their eventness.
Because that way I could have got her on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could have loaned me that. No, we'd have interviewed her right there. But anyway. No, but that's cool. So, update on my brother's doing okay so far. We'll know a little more this week. I'll keep people updated because people ask me about it all the time. So,
yeah,
I appreciate you guys asking. I hate talking about it, but I appreciate you guys asking.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a sore subject, but it's good that people are concerned. So, exactly. That's always good. All right. So, we're going to take a little break and come back for the last third. We're going to talk about what we're going to review next week.
Exactly.
It's a good one.
Good one.
It's a good one. We'll be right back. All right, we're back for the last segment of the show, and what are we going to be reviewing next week, Randy?
Crimson Tide.
That's not the music from Crimson Tide.
I know. I couldn't think of any music, and I started to actually do the Empire theme from
Star Wars. The Crimson Tide one is...
That's it.
That's the, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Crimson
Tide with Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington.
And
great
a ton
movie.
Of other people.
Yes,
yeah.
A ton of... underlings in that movie.
Yep. So now James we said Kendall. We were not going to go ABC, but we ended up doing it. We did a number movie, 3,000 Miles from Gaceland. Then we did...
To Gaceland?
Gayland. 3,000 Miles to Gayland. And then we did Butch Cassidy and the Sun-Baked Kid. And now we're doing Crimson...
Crimson Boil?
Yeah.
Crimson
Era instead of Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
And then,
good movie. I love that movie. Looking forward to watching that.
Yeah. I'm definitely. That's a good one, yeah. That's definitely a good one. One of the top five... submarine movies ever made, probably.
I can't name five submarine movies.
Can't name five. I would name. Let's see, Hunt for Red October, Crimson Tide, Das Boot,
U-571 or whatever the one.
U-571 is another one. I wouldn't say that's one of the best, but yeah,
it's a movie. That's
Das Boot's one of the best. Hunt for Red October is one of the best. Run Silent, Run Deep.
Don't know that one.
You don't know Run Silent, Run
Deep? I mean, I've heard of it. I've never
seen
it.
Shame on you.
I don't like war movies.
What?
I don't like war movies.
What?
I don't like war movies.
Oh, my God.
I can't say it any better
Do you
than
not
that.
Like...
there's certain ones that stand out, yeah, that I like. I mean, Saving Private Ryan,
the Ryan
I love.
Guy? Yeah, okay, there you go.
Love that movie.
Okay.
I'll never watch it again.
Yeah.
But I loved it. It's a great movie.
Now, what made you see that movie? Was it because of the cast and the director
and
everything?
I wanted to see it. I wanted to see it. Because I had both grandfathers fought in World War II, so I thought I owed it to them to at least watch it in their honor, and I did that. That's...
Platoon? You don't like Platoon?
No.
No?
Not big Oliver Stone guy. I mean, I like a couple Oliver Stone. When Oliver Stone gets it right, I like him. And he probably got it right in Platoon. I just didn't want to.
Didn't want to see it?
Okay. No.
Wow. So no, you know, Battle of the Bulge or,
some of the John Wayne movies.
Navarone, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Bridge on the River Kwai is a great movie.
Yeah. Just not your thing. Like,
The Great
you had
Escape.
To choose...
The Great Escape's a great movie. I love Great Escape.
Okay.
It's just, I don't
not
seek...
Your... Not a ones. Genre that you seek out.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Like, what's the one, The Black Hawk Down, that looked like a good movie? I just never...
Zero Dark Thirty was also...
Yeah.
That's Jason Clarke as well.
You see, and I probably would watch that one. I just... it might be too late now. It's already, you know.
Yeah.
Like when it came out, I probably should have watched it. The Hurt Locker, I kind of probably should have watched that.
That was good. I like The Hurt Locker. Both those flicks were actually
that
really good.
Hot. The girl that wrote that is hot.
Yeah.
And she could be our mom. Well, she's not that much older than us, but no, she's hot.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just not my genre. Hmm. I'd much rather watch a Western or a comedy or a horror flick than a war movie.
Good to know. There's really not a genre that I don't like that I avoid besides maybe
it depresses me is what comedies, it is to be honest. It depresses me.
Yeah.
Well, you like romantic comedies?
Some. Like I don't.
If
I don't
they're good,
seek them out.
A good romantic comedy is awesome.
Harry Met Sally is one of my all-time favorite movies. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
But there's very few that I can't list five others that I'm like, I got to watch that again.
I probably could have before we started this topic, but I can't pick anything. But there's a few I liked. I don't know.
Comedies. I like comedies. You know, comedies, but romantic comedies.
What about
it's just not my real forte.
That movie with that guy and the girl where they fall in love. What the hell was that called?
The one where she's a slut and.
Pretty Woman's a piece of crap movie, by the way.
Pretty Woman's awful.
If you're a dude and you like Pretty Woman, turn in your man card and get castrated now. That's the rule. Because, one, Julia Roberts isn't that good looking.
No, she's got horse face.
Yeah, and that laugh of hers is like, shut up. Shut up.
People love that laugh, though, man.
I can't stand
it. Love that laugh.
They like her mouth, too, and her mouth is huge. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
The big mouth, yeah.
But, shit. There's some other romantic comedies I like.
Huh. I can't, you know, let me think about it.
Sleepless in Seattle was okay. It was fine.
Yeah. See, that's not really my, Annie Hall.
No, God. Actually, not a bad movie, but I don't like it.
So here's a list of the top. Oh, this list is awful. This is most popular romance comedy feature films made. This is on IMDb. Number one's Aloha. That movie is awful. That just came out. That should not be Trainwreck, which I've heard was good.
I haven't seen it.
I'm Amy Schumer fan. I'm not a big fan of hers. So, no. Wet Hot American Summer, which
that's hilarious.
I wouldn't consider that.
It's not a romantic comedy. It's more of a horror film. Actually,
Pitch Perfect. Goonies. The Goonies is not a romantic. This is the worst list ever in the world.
Does it even know what it's talking about?
The Wedding Ringer, Crazy Stupid Love. That I would classify as a good romantic comedy.
Excellent.
That's a good
movie.
Flick. Yeah, that's a good flick. American Pie. Is not a romantic comedy.
That's a raunch comedy.
Yeah. Princess Bride, I would counter. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's solid.
That's a family movie, I think, more than a romantic comedy, but it definitely would qualify. Wedding Crashers is not a romantic comedy.
God, how is that a romantic comedy?
10 Things I Hate About You, I guess, could be qualified, but...
That movie sucked.
Yeah. Scott Pilgrim. Bridesmaids, no, that's not a romantic comedy either.
God, I hate...
That's just a girl movie. Midnight in Paris, I would classify.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Nice.
That's
romantic comedy.
That's one of the few.
Although I wanted to kill Rachel McAdams in
Woody
that
Allen ones. That, yeah,
bitch.
She's so freaking annoying in that.
Oh.
Clueless. Easy. American Graffiti. Do you count that as a romantic comedy?
No.
Even
Notting though that's
Hill.
The show that our buddy Pedro's dad got reinvigorated with.
Yep. Happy Days. Notting Hill.
Oh my God! I'm just a girl standing in front of a guy asking him to love her.
Looking at a girl to
shut up! Just stop talking.
Boob. Mama Mia, Sweet Cecilia, Sleepless in Seattle. There's Breakfast at Tiffany's.
That's a solid movie. Did I don't know.
I've never seen Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I've only seen parts.
Never
of it, to
seen
be
it.
I just get to thinking. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't think I've seen
just
it.
Extremely
Juno's
racist.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I like Juno.
Yeah, Juno was good, but I wouldn't consider it a romantic comedy. 40-Year-Old Virgin, I guess.
Kind of. Yeah. There's a love story.
There's a love story there at the end.
It's so much raunch.
Yeah, it is very raunchy. Yeah, there's a lot of them here, but Legally Blonde, no.
God.
Bridget Jones's Diary.
I can't. Oh, God.
No.
Oh, my God.
Four Weddings and a Funeral.
I watched the first Bridget Jones with my wife at the time.
Did she like it?
No.
Okay, but my wife didn't like it either. Yay.
But yet she wanted to watch the second one. I'm like, what? You didn't like the first one.
That's
I'm
women
like, I'm
for
not
you,
watching
man.
It. I'm like, I'm not watching
that
it.
That is women for you. They have
you know, this is when I knew I loved my wife, even though we were already together and I already loved her, but this is when I really fell in love with her was one night, I think it might have been Valentine's Day or maybe her birthday, I thought, I'll do the romantic stuff. I'll cook dinner. We'll do steaks and stuff and get her flowers and shit.
All that bullshit.
And I rented Bridges of Madison County.
Yeah.
Which I did not want to watch, but I thought, two reasons. One, I don't watch Meryl Streep movies, period. And two, it's Bridges of Madison County. I don't really want to watch this movie. I don't want to see Clint Eastwood be a pussy.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing all the romantic stuff. I'm like, oh, and this is what we've got to watch tonight for the movie. And she goes, what? I'm like, Bridges of Madison County, come on. She's like, I read the book and hated it. I don't want to watch this movie. Yeah, like, me that I love you. I love you. Let's go have sex the, right, yeah, now. Right
now. So, Jerry Maguire. Has his moments.
I hate that movie, though.
Everything around the comedy is... Everything around the romance is good, but the comedy...
Might be the last Tom Cruise movie that I actually found to be somewhat pleasant.
Hairspray, Click, Princess Diaries,
Sex Click's a good movie, even though I don't like Adam Sandler.
Footloose. Footloose is not a romantic comedy. What? Real Genius. I wouldn't consider that a romantic comedy either. But that's
the one with Val Kilmer?
Yeah, I love that movie. It's a great movie. So yeah, romantic comedy is Zucker Brothers. Not on my short list.
Didn't the Zucker Brothers do that?
I don't know if they did it or not.
I think they did.
It's already closed. But yeah, so that, you know, that's my genre.
They don't close stuff until I finish my anecdotes,
that's
okay?
When I just, like, that's, you can have, I'll take the war movies, you take the romantic comedy.
No, I don't want, I mean, it's probably more war movies that I, oh, Dirty Dozen, we forgot about Dirty Dozen. Uh-huh. Great war movie.
Yep.
I like them if I like, you gotta have somebody in the cast that I like, and it has to be an interesting story that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
But, you know, that's kind of my thing with that. My dad loved them, and it probably is a lot of it.
What Women Want was another one.
Love that movie.
That was actually a good movie.
Love that movie. Yeah. That's a great romantic
that
comedy.
That was a good movie, yeah.
I would have fallen in love with Helen Hunt in that movie. I mean, yeah. I just really... She was... First of all, she looked great.
Would you consider As Good As It Gets a romantic comedy?
Yes, and yeah. I like that one, too.
Yeah, that's pretty good, too.
I like that one, too.
Greg Kinnear was good in that. Greg Kinnear was really
good
in that.
He was great in that.
Yeah.
I had the two guys from Scream in a little tiny thing, but remember? That was kind of... Skeet Ulrich and... ooh, that's a segment for a future show.
What's that?
Actors you thought were going to be big, but
and they just went
didn't. Because I thought Skeet Ulrich was going to be huge.
Yeah.
After Scream, and then he did that TV show that did real well for a bit.
And we saw him at Texas Frightmare and didn't recognize him. I didn't recognize him.
He looked like he weighed 19 pounds.
He looked weird.
Yeah, he did. He looked
very weird.
I didn't even want to interview him because he just looked weird. Yeah. It was almost like a Freddy Krueger hat or something.
It was
really weird. And like I said, he literally probably weighed 110 pounds. Yeah. He was tiny.
We went from Skeet Ulrich to Skeevy Ulrich.
You know what I did? I fucked up.
What?
I was watching our Jack Shoulder interview.
Yeah.
The director of Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
Yeah.
And so I went to his IMDb page. I was trying to find that movie that you said that you liked a lot of his.
Yeah, The Hidden.
The Hidden. Okay. Yeah. Well, I got doubly confused. I saw this movie called Alone in the Dark that he did. And it had Jack Palance and Donald Sutherland and Martin Landau. I'm like, oh, it's a good cast. I'm thinking Winterbrand likes this movie. Because I wasn't thinking The Hidden. I thought Alone in the Dark sounds similar to what you were talking about.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, shit, I've got Amazon Prime and stuff. I'll just buy it and get the movie. And Brandon and I will watch this movie together.
Okay.
I clicked on the wrong one. You know how they got the used section?
Yeah.
You know? And I clicked on the wrong one, didn't pay attention to the price, and bought it.
Oh, no.
Most expensive movie I've ever bought in my life. $39. I didn't pay attention. I just thought, because I thought the one above was like $1, and I figured $3 in shipping, and I wasn't looking at the decimal point. $39.89 or something like that.
For a DVD?
For a DVD.
Oh.
For this movie. I started it. It sucks. Sorry, Jack, you're a good dude, you're a good friend, and it's not your fault. It was early 80s, and it looks early 80s.
Yeah.
The overacting is unbearable.
Wow.
Martin Landau's in this, but it's like, oh, God. Just everything I hate about a movie right there.
Oh,
so
man.
So anyway, so if you want to watch it, I got it.
Yeah, it's right up at the top of my list.
Great. Most expensive movie I've ever bought.
So if you're going to borrow it, it's fine. It only costs you $38 to borrow it.
I charge you $5 a day. I'll see you next week. We should be good by then.
I think I'll pass.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was like, with that cast and Jack Shoulder's a good director, I thought this would be fun. Oh,
no. You got to check out The Hidden. The Hidden's fun.
Yeah, that's the movie I'm looking for. I'm not going to spend $39. Sorry, Jack.
Wow.
But we gave him cigars. He should be okay with me not being happy with one of his movies.
Right.
And it might be good. It's just it started so bad that I just couldn't fight through it. I'm like, I don't know, man.
I don't know that I've ever seen that. I could probably, you know, count the number of Jack Palance movies I've seen on one hand. I can't think of that many movies I've seen with him.
Chain.
It's Alone in the Dark, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, that's not it.
Yeah, Alone in the Dark.
No, there's another one.
In 1980 or something. You've seen, okay, I'm gonna name Jack Palance movies I know you've seen. You've seen Chain.
I've seen City Slickers.
You've seen Batman. You've seen Monty Walsh.
Yeah.
That's four.
Okay.
City Slickers 2.
That doesn't count.
Yes, it does.
I don't count that.
Come on.
There's probably Westerns. I mean, there's probably a lot of Westerns I've seen him in.
Yeah.
He was in Chain, right? He was the bad guy in Chain. Did you say Chain already?
Yeah, like four times. Oh, okay. Thanks for listening to the show.
You're welcome. Well, I'm trying to look up Jack Shoulder at the same time here, this movie you're talking about. Alone in the Dark or something. Mm-hmm. Alone in the Dark, 82.
82.
Let's see what IMDb says about this. Okay. It has a 6.2.
Wow.
A quartet of murderer psychopaths break out of a mental hospital during a power blackout and lay siege to their doctor's house. So it's got Donald Pleasence, Martin Landau. Yeah, it's got a good cast, like you said.
Yeah.
So I may watch that. I don't know.
I'll own it to you, like I said.
I'm not paying $30 for it.
50 cents a day. That's all I got. I can get some of it. At least get the shipping back on it.
Right, right. Wow.
But
the last movie I've seen from this director was probably Renegades. He did that one with Lou Diamond Phillips and Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, that's a good movie.
That was a fun movie.
I didn't know he did that.
Yep. And he did a Tales from the Crypt episode. 1201 was a TV movie. With Martin Landau again. He likes working with Martin Landau.
Yeah.
And a couple of other sketch artists to the Omen TV movie. There was an Omen TV movie?
That was good. I saw that. I didn't know that was him.
Mortal Kombat Conquest. I didn't know he did that. Wow. Those are cool. The TV set. Wishmaster 2, Supernova, Arachnid, Beeper, Tremors, the TV series. He did that. And 12 Days of Terror, which is apparently a shark movie of some sort. So a lot of TV.
Yeah.
But hey, whatever. That's cool.
He was a really nice guy.
He is a super nice guy, yeah. Okay, so check out that interview and those other interviews from Texas Frightmare if you haven't seen those before. They're over on the YouTube page.
Kane Hodder's going to be next year. We've got it. That's Billy's movie. There's supposed to be news within the next few weeks on distribution.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I'm surprised he hasn't just sent a copy to Quentin Tarantino. He'd probably be all over that shit,
He wants to keep the money himself.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
But yeah, distribution's supposed to be announced within the next couple of weeks.
And what movie are we talking about?
Circus of the Dead.
Circus of the Dead. Billy Pond. Bloody Billy Pond.
With Randall Parrish, the great Bill Oberst Jr., mm-hmm. and the great Chanel Ryan, our buddy.
Yeah, Chanel Ryan.
And we are buddies.
Hot chica. So check those out as well. Whenever you get a chance, whenever Circus of the Dead comes out, you definitely want to give it a watch. But so next week, Crimson Tide.
With the great Gene Hackman. The very good Denzel.
Yeah.
I like Denzel. We'll talk about that next week. Yeah. I'll give my Denzel speech.
All right. So check us out. Where can they find us, Randy?
We are on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcast Land, Podomatic, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. I'm at RandyRankin43 on Twitter.
At Captain Funky Pants. And we've also got the Twitter account for @CigarsInCinema, all one word.
And the same on Instagram, right?
You guys have any recommendations for movies you want us to review, go over to Cigar Asylum and check out the list. All you got to do is look up Cigars in Cinema in Google. We'll pop up. Cigar Asylum will pop up. You can look at the list. And if there's a particular one you want us to review, give us the old Twitter. Get on the Twitter sphere and let us know. Or get on Instagram and let us know. And we'll put it in the queue.
And to clarify, it is Cigars in cinema. Not N,
I-N,
cinema.
Yeah. Yes. So, as always, it's been great smoking with you.
See you later, Brandon.
See you later, Randy. We're going back to the old way.
Might as well. Whatever works.
Right.